Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harvard Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The U.S. and Israel finally went to war against the Islamic regime in Iran, or rather the Islamic occupation of Iran, as the Persian people are now calling it. After following these developments for over a year, I'm now celebrating. Should Christians celebrate war? Yes, if the war is a righteous cause. And there are many texts in the Bible that call for the righteous to rejoice when the wicked are defeated, such as Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. Or Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10, when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. And Proverbs 28:12, when the righteous triumph, there is great glory. Also Psalm 72, give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. May he vindicate the afflicted of the people, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Then there are all the victory and battle psalms, Psalm 20, Psalm 60, Psalm 118. There's the Song of Moses in Exodus 15. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he casts into the sea. And the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. This is a psalm of rejoicing. Also, Psalm 18, verse 34, he trains my hand for battle so that my arm can bend a bow of bronze. Verse 37, I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them, so they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you have girded me with the strength for battle, and you have subdued under me those who rose up against me. Verse 49, therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. And if you need a New Testament verse in this regard, Revelation chapter 12, where God's people are encouraged to rejoice over the defeat of evil. In 1945, when the Allies defeated the Nazis in World War II, there was righteous rejoicing in all the streets in America. In New York City this weekend, there was a protest by the left against America's bombing of Iran. This was sponsored by the People's Forum, a New York City Marxist organization funded by Neville Roy Singham, a billionaire who lives in China and who's part of the CCP. There seems to be a camaraderie, a spiritual unity between the communists, the Islamists, and the Western left. The conservative YouTuber Nate Friedman was at the protest doing interviews. And here's the testimony of a young Christian Iranian man who was there to support Trump's actions against Iran, as are also all of the Iranian exiles.
Yeah.
Gotta say, I'm a big fan of what you do, man.
Thank you so much.
My name is Iman. I'm a Persian Christian.
Yeah.
I have family. Are you guys live streaming?
Yeah.
I just want to say this is disgusting. It's sad that tens of thousands of Persian people have died, and the one day people decide to get together and say something about it is the day that the U.S. makes a strike. It has nothing to do with the innocent lives, and you know the brotherhood of Israel and America and Iran is really the only thing that can get us through this. I'm just so sad to see all these people holding these signs. Probably have no idea what they mean. They just against Trump, against the idea of intervention. But at the end of the day, I've had my phone's been blowing up all day. Everyone in my family.
What are they saying?
Just this is the first chance they've had hope, the first opportunity of changing their regime. I mean, like Trump said, I mean, this is the only chance they'll get in generations to really make an actual change. And I mean, when seeing what my grandmother, my mom, my dad are saying, I mean, they witnessed the regime kind of come into power.
And what is it like?
I think at the end of the day, I mean, Iran is the head of the snake. It's behind so many evil attacks, the Beirut bombings. I mean, everything Hamas has done. I mean, you have to understand this all comes from the IRGC.
What this war is really all about is the defeat of the false ideology and the religion of Islam. I mean, yes, America doesn't want a country like Iran that chants death to America to get nuclear weapons. And yes, Iran is the primary sponsor of terrorism in the Middle East. It's through Iran's national sovereignty and oil revenues that Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis are all funded to terrorize the Jews in Israel. But all that flows out of the Islamic theology and hegemony that must be defeated. The main theological and eschatological goal of the Islamic State of Iran for the past 47 years is to destroy Israel and America and to bring about an Islamic caliphate throughout the entire world. This is Islam's great commission for Allah and Muhammad. If Islam loses Iran and the Persian people, this will be a great death blow to Islamic power in the Middle East. This is why Muslim jihadists throughout the world are in a panic over what's happening now in Iran. Islam cannot lose Iran. They cannot lose territory for Allah. And that's why so many foreign jihadists are now coming into Iran to help prop up the regime and to shoot at the protesters. The people of Iran, the Persians, on the other hand, are burning down mosques. They're protesting Islam. For 47 years, the people have seen what it's like to live under the religion of Islam, and they've had enough. Islam has become odious to them. Back in 1979, the people of Iran were convinced by Marxists and Islamists to overthrow the Shah. The Shah supported Western values and freedom, but the people naively set up an Islamic state. And after 47 years of totalitarianism under Islam, Islamic economic oppression, and Sharia law, the people, the Persian people, have had enough. They've learned their lesson. But through this, the underground church in Iran has exploded in growth. The people are now seeing Islam as a foreign occupying force, not the Persian faith. Islamists invaded Iran back in the 7th century. The people of Iran were originally Zoroastrian. Zoroastrianism is considered one of the world's oldest religions. It was founded by an obscure prophet, Zoroaster, between 1500 and 1000 BC. This was during the days of Moses. Zoroaster taught monotheism, a belief in the one true God, rather than all the other nations worshiping many gods and demons. And Zoroaster taught about this battle between good and evil. Zoroaster may have been like a Melchizedek type of individual, but in Persia, a Gentile who worshiped the Most High God. And this faith, Zoroastrianism, is really a good foundation for receiving Christian truth. It's easier to witness to a Zoroastrian than to a Muslim. And so we see in the Bible that it was wise men from Persia who believed in the messianic prophecies of Daniel, who came to offer gifts to Jesus at his birth, acknowledging Jesus as the king. And earlier in the 5th century BC, Cyrus, the king of Persia, supported the Jews in returning to their homeland and rebuilding their temple. 2 Chronicles 36, 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. So he sent a proclamation throughout his kingdom and also put it in writing saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Whoever there is among you of all of his people, may the Lord, his God, be with him and let him go up." So notice how God didn't use a powerful Jewish hero, but a pagan nation and a pagan Gentile king to support God's program. Also, Isaiah 44, 28, God says, "It's I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He will perform all my desires. And he declares that Jerusalem She will be built, and of the temple your foundation will be laid. Cyrus will declare this by the moving of God's hand. And it sure looks like what we're seeing is a double fulfillment of this prophecy. The son of the former Shah of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, who has been living in America, in a speech back in January, told the world that we, the Persians, are the children of Cyrus, who has helped the Jews in the past rebuild the temple, and that once he, Pahlavi, is back in power in Iran, he will make a peace treaty in support of Israel, turning the state of Iran from the number one terrorist state against Israel into the number one supporter of Israel in the Middle East. I mean, that's huge. We're witnessing a miracle of God, and this is certainly in the hand of God. It just so happened that the son of the Shah is still alive and well and is ready to return to Iran, giving the people of Iran a figurehead to rally around. And it just so happens that for 47 years, Islamic radicals ruled Iran with an iron fist, causing the people to see firsthand the evil of Islam. The devil overplayed his hands. And it just so happened that drought has hit Iran, destroying their economy. And it also just so happened that the Iranian government enriched their Islamic overlords, supported terrorists abroad, and supported their own protective IRCG, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, a 120,000 Islamic force separate from the police and the army. Khomeini, the supreme leader, supported all this by printing money, creating a 50% inflation rate. The oil money wasn't enough for them. They made the entire population work as slaves for the Islamic Caliphate. You know, 50% inflation rate is basically a 50% tax on the Iranian people, in addition to all of the other taxes. And the regime printed money to pay their insiders, and that impoverished everyone else, causing the people to revolt. And it just so happened that the current American president, Donald Trump, has taken a hard line against Iran, putting sanctions on the country, further cutting off their ability to fund their objectives, causing the economy of Iran to go into a tailspin. A much different approach than was taken by Carter and Obama and Biden. And it just so happens that the Iranian people finally got fed up and went out onto the streets to protest, finally being willing to stand up against the regime, even though the regime has all of the guns. And it just so happens that rather than the regime making reforms, which would have diffused the situation, the regime doubled down on their power and authority and began to shoot the Iranian people. 30,000 were killed, making the Islamic government all the more hated by the people. And all this inspired America and Israel to come to their aid, because without the support of the people, taking down the Islamic regime in Iran would be futile. And it just so happened that Iran made the mistake of sending missiles into civilian areas in other Islamic countries out of retaliation for those countries allowing American bases. Iran sent missiles into Bahrain and Qatar and Dubai and to Saudi and to Kuwait. This set these other Muslim nations against Iran. And it just so happened that rather than the leaders of Iran playing it smart and going along with the demands of the West, even faking some sort of conciliatory tone or just halting their nuclear ambitions in the short term, the Iranian leaders became more threatening and more militant, giving the West all the justification the West needed to invade. Notice the arrogance of the supreme leader. In one of his final posts on social media before he was killed, he posted, quote, "The U.S. president has said that for 47 years, the United States hasn't been able to eliminate the Islamic Republic." Well, that's a good confession, I say. You too will not be able to do this. But then shortly after, he was killed in the bombing. After the report of Khomeini's death, there were Islamic rallies where the Muslims were weeping over his death. But there was really more celebration in the street than mourning. But there are still the diehard Muslims who actually believe that Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. It's an Arab religion that's motivated for desire for ethnic and national power. Now, we see this war and the death of Khomeini as the end of the reign of terror, the end of terrorism. But there are Islamic clerics, even here in the United States, that see this war as a prophetic fulfillment, where this war will be a showdown ushering in the arrival of the Mahdi, the Muslim's Messiah, where the Mahdi will defeat the Dajjal, what we would call the Antichrist, what they would call the anti-Allah. And they believe that the Dajjal is Donald Trump. This last week at Mosque in America, Muslims were praying that Allah destroys all unbelievers. So one of the big stories in this war is really the taking down of Islam. I would never have expected this, given my understanding of the rise of evil in the last days and the prophecies in the Revelation about the false prophet. But it looks like what we're seeing is at least a dramatic decline in the Islamic religion. Even the 9/11 attacks destroyed Islam's moral authority, their moral legitimacy, and caused many Muslims to question the faith. Now, Muslims were rejoicing as if 9/11 was a victory, but it was actually the beginning of their end, which is often how these things come to pass. With oil revenues, we saw the rise of Islam at the end of the 20th century. And I'm sure God had a purpose for that, most likely to empower Islam, to expose it. But now it looks like God is collapsing Islam to provide a chance for the gospel message to be spread through the Middle East. Under the Iranian regime, Christianity was outlawed. And the defeat of Islam may also be the fulfillment of prophecy for the Jews, so that they'll again be established in the land of Israel. More of the diaspora will return. With the defeat of Hamas, Israel has just passed a new law that allows for the Jews to once again buy land on the West Bank. And reports are that fewer Muslims are going up to the temple site, the Dome of the Rock. Another main story in this war is the political left siding with the Islamic regime. I mean, we know that there are totalitarian states like the CCP communists in China and North Korea and the Russians who support Iran. Putin mourned the death of Khomeini and calling his death a violation of morality. Neville Singham, the American CCP communist in China, is, as I said earlier, funding protests against American intervention. Even though just 2 weeks ago, thousands of Iranian exiles marched in L.A. and New York and Atlanta and Paris and in London to call for America to take down the Iranian Islamic occupation. This weekend, there were about 1,000 leftists in New York City protesting the war, but the number of those in support of American intervention was way greater. Of course, the Muslim mayor of New York City, Mamdani, condemned the taking down of the Islamic occupation of Iran, calling it a catastrophic escalation in an illegal war of aggression. The New York Times also condemned America's intervention in Iran, calling Khomeini a magnanimous individual. The Washington Post, another left-leaning paper, also had good things to say about Khomeini. Yet how did the Trump administration see Khomeini? Quote, one of the most evil people in history, and a wretched and a vile man, one of the most brutal people in history. Here's an article. All of the 2028 potential Democrat candidates for president have come out in opposition against the Trump administration bombing Iran. Now, the reason given is that the Trump administration did not get permission from Congress. But during his term, President Obama bombed seven nations without getting congressional approval. And not one of those Democrats complained about Obama not getting permission from Congress. For them, Article 2 of the Constitution, making the president the commander-in-chief of the military, was enough for President Obama, but not for President Trump. And this brings up the issue I was discussing last week. There's nothing more corrupt than the person who waits to see the party affiliation of the person who is doing the act before deciding whether the act is good or bad. Here's a piece by Catherine Salgado with PJ Media. Remember the useful idiots in America and across the West who are bewailing the U.S.-Israeli strike on genocidal Iranian terrorists. Don't ever let them live down the disgusting shame of their reaction to this historic victory. From Tucker Carlson to Senator Chuck Schumer to Representative Thomas Massey to Amnesty International to the United Nations, pro-terror individuals and entities are furious that U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accomplished in one day what millions of people have dreamed for years. They're claiming, how dare we finally eliminate the jihadist leaders who threaten to wipe out America and Israel off the map and who murder our men. As I stated earlier, hundreds of American soldiers, thousands of Israeli, and tens of thousands of Persians have died thanks to the fanatical jihad cruelty of the collapsing Iranian regime. It was so clearly in our interests, and even the Trump administration's duty, to take out the regime that has long attacked our men and infiltrated our country's institutions, that it's insane anyone is trying to argue differently. Of course, the UN is mad because despite the recent massacre of tens of thousands of anti-regime protesters in Iran, the UN welcomed Iran to head its Human Rights Council. I guess that job will be open now. Unquote. So a big part of the story is this ongoing moral confusion and division over what's right and wrong. We see that in so many issues today. And this is not just an information problem. It's a worldview problem, a different theology. Basically, a Christian worldview versus a humanist worldview, a belief in crime and punishment versus a disbelief in crime and punishment, even a different source of laws and morals. One woman interviewed who was attending the anti-war protests in New York City said that she was against Trump's actions because, "I'm against the war. I'm here to support humanity, to stop the killing of innocent people. Whoever's in power, they're going to make the people safe." Well, what about all the innocent people killed by Khomeini? Well, she said she didn't even believe the news reports from CNN that the Iranian government killed 30,000 protesters. This is a moral naivety that believes everyone is good and nobody is to be punished for evil. This is also the error of believing that there is a moral equivalency between what is described as good and evil. And we know from Scripture that someday the people of this world will side with the Antichrist and his regime, being fully convinced that evil is good and good is evil, but Christians will discern otherwise. One final thought. What does this all mean for the people of Iran? Are there any prophecies in the Bible about the Persians? Well, we know from the book of Daniel that Persia is the second beast described by Daniel. Persia conquers Babylon, but then Persia is conquered by Greece, and then Greece is conquered by Rome. Persia shows up in the book of Esther, where under King Xerxes, the Jews are saved from persecution. As I mentioned earlier, there's also the Persian King Cyrus, who supported the rebuilding of Israel in the temple. But in Jeremiah 49, there is an extensive prophecy concerning the people of Elam. And that would be the people of modern-day Persia. Elam was one of the sons of Shem, the progenitor of the Persian people. And that prophecy goes on to explain that God is going to break the bow or the power of Persia. and they will be scattered as a people. And I shall shatter Elam before their enemies, and I shall bring calamity upon them. But then we read these words, Jeremiah 49:38. Then I will set my throne in Elam and destroy out of it its king and princes, declares the Lord. But it will come about in the last days that I will restore the fortunes of Elam, declares the Lord. So this promise is that God will set up his throne in Elam. This speaks of Christ conquering the people of Elam, their conversion. God is setting up his throne there, not Satan. And it sounds very similar to the promise and the prophecy in Isaiah 19 that someday Assyria and Egypt will be called my people along with Israel. Now, there's a lot of debate whether these Old Testament prophecies, such as in Jeremiah 49, are local and limited just to the time of Jeremiah, or whether they're to be fulfilled in the last days in some sort of dual fulfillment of prophecy or some future complete fulfillment. Well, when the scripture says here, it will come about in the last days, as it says in Jeremiah 49:39 concerning Persia, I believe we should take Jeremiah 49, the prophecy there, as still in our future, still to come, something that's going to be happening in these last days. So no wonder right now, in these last days, the church in Iran is the fastest growing church in the world. God looks like he's setting up his throne there. Well, thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.